This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here along with you. The Healing Muse, the award-winning annual literary and visual arts journal from Upstate Center for Bioethics and Humanities, is about to release a new edition. And joining us again is its editor and a regular contributor to this show, Dr. Deirdre Nealon. She's Associate Professor of Bioethics and Humanities at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Nealon. Welcome, Deirdre.
Thank you, Linda. It's good to be back here with you.
It's always good to see you. So let's remind our listeners who may not be familiar with the Healing Muse, what is it? What's your mission?
Okay. It's a visual and literary journal, and its mission is to contribute to the overall improvement of patient welfare, patient care that we have at Upstate.
And how would you say a visual and literary journal does that?
I would say that it does that by providing both practitioners and patients and caregivers the opportunity to reflect on their illness or disease, to reflect on what it's like to be a physician or a nurse, to reflect on what it's like to suddenly hear some words you didn't expect to hear, you have, and then fill in the blank. I think that writing and the arts give us a tremendous boost toward healing, that we get to maybe organize what it's like to suddenly have your world turned upside down. And so what the Healing Muse is doing is, in its title, it's saying that the arts can provide some healing. The reflection, the musing about illness can actually maybe bring us to a better place.
So the themes are basically medicine, illness, disability, and healing.
Yes.
Personal, basically usually, almost always, personal stories
yes.
of some kind. And it's short stories, poetry.
We do that. We do memoirs. You can write about yourself, autobiographical pieces. We do essays. And yes, a lot of poetry and fiction. And now, in addition, we also have photography. Painters submit their works, sculptures. We put those visual representations of them within the pages as well.
How long ago did the Healing Muse begin? And you what know, was the or, you know what was the germ of that?
Yeah, thank you for asking, because it's always fun to go back in the past. Our journal began 14 years ago, and it was the brainchild of a woman who was a professor, Bonnie St. Andrews, and her idea was. And she was particularly interested in the nurses at this point at Upstate. But her idea was, we don't hear from the people who are on the front lines of caring. And she said to herself that when she was teaching classes in writing to the nurses at our College of Nursing, she was struck by how many stories, dramatic stories, they are participants in. And yet there's no outlet for them. We did have the beginnings, I think, that we expect physicians to write about things. We're very interested in when physicians tell us anything. But we hadn't really thought about what nurses do. And so Bonnie thought, wouldn't it be good if our university would start a journal? And so her original idea was this would just be a journal for Upstate. But she quickly, after the second year, realized that people were telling other people about it, and people wanted to write for it who didn't just come to Upstate.
So and bottom line now is you have submissions from where? I mean, basically all over the country?
All over the country. I mean, just in this issue alone, Linda, we have 38 states and 7 countries represented that,
wow.
that, you know, submitted to us. So, yeah, thanks to the web. I mean, certainly the internet has given people who live far away the chance to be right up close talking to us, and that's been a wonderful boon for us.
And to actually experience the Healing Muse. I mean, they can
yes.
see parts of it.
Yes,
and they can
definitely. We're online. You can, you know, check us out that way. And then if you are selected, if you're accepted, we give you 2 free copies. We're not paying our writers and artists, unfortunately, yet, but someday I long to be able to do that. But in the meantime, they get 2 free copies of a really beautiful journal.
Have other medical schools jumped on that same wagon? I mean, are we the only medical? I can't believe it's the only medical school.
No, we're not the only one, but we are one of the first that has done this and made it look so professional. Some places essentially are still the old stapler, and we put some pages together, or we're just online. But there are a growing number of universities that are very interested in having their medical students and medical practitioners think about writing, Think about taking some time, because time is, as we all know here at the medical university, time is a premium. But if you just rush through the day doing patient after patient, you know, seeing one person after another, and you never take time to think about what it was like, what is that person telling you? When you tell him or her you have asthma or you have diabetes.
Or cancer.
What is it like for that person to hear you? And what I have noticed is an increasing desire on the part of the physicians and nurses to almost reflect back on what must it be like to be the patient. And I find that a very powerful movement in medicine, that they are now actually willing to sort of step outside the white coat for a second and think, you know, I'm a man, I'm a woman too, I'm a mother, I'm a father, I'm a friend, I'm a daughter. What's it like to hear this diagnosis and write about it?
And actually, that's part of what you told me at one point is a key theme that seems to be running through this year's edition.
Yes, it's very interesting to me that, you know, we don't ever ask for a theme. We haven't done that yet. We simply say we have open submissions and, you know, send us what you want. But as I'm putting it together each year, I'm always thinking to myself, well, is there any kind of common theme? Is there something in me this year that I'm looking for something in particular unconsciously? I didn't know it. And I think that this year I have found that we selected many medical personnel who are doing two things, not just talking about what it's like to be the nurse or the physician, but really talking about what it was like to be the patient. And I just like that idea that they have expanded their worldview so that it's not just the profession now, but it's the profession engaged with a real-life person.
Really humanizing
experience. Yeah, I think so.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Deirdre Nealon. She's the editor of Upstate's literary journal, The Healing Muse. We're talking about the healing effects of writing, perhaps. So you have brought something to read to us today to illustrate some of these concepts. Tell us a little bit about what you've brought.
I brought you a poem that we used to close our issue. I chose this for the concluding piece because its power and its poignancy still almost give me shivers when I read it. This is a poem called I'm Sorry, and it was written by a physician who is also a father, and he's a father who lost a daughter. And this poem takes you through, in a very few stanzas, the entirety of what it's like to lose a part of yourself that way. And I think it shows you what the Healing Muse is capable of doing, that we will just take a second after we hear this poem and we will think, oh. And I find that part of art, you know, just so beguiling. It's just very powerful. So let me try. His name is Dr. Bill Rector. I'm sorry. For what happened, for what I didn't do, for what I couldn't, for this world, for death, for the hour today when I didn't think of you, for myself, for all of us left to fill the silence with a lyric from the only song we know. I'm sorry too, you reply. Sorry you couldn't sleep, Daddy. Sorry you did. Sorry your dreams did not include a message from me you could understand. Sorrier still if you didn't dream. Sorry for the endless vacancy I left behind. Sorry they forecast rain and you woke up to snow. I'm sorry, dear. Yesterday we put away your pictures, all but one, kept high in the recesses of my bookcase, showing the two of us on a jet ski. You steered, I rode on the back. Remember? We turned over in the middle of the lake. Sorry, 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 Daddy, you cried, thinking I'd be angry at such clumsiness in one who worked so hard to be a grown-up. Don't worry, I told you, treading water. We're wearing life jackets. I was wrong.
Wow.
So you see what I mean there? I mean, it's such a human emotion, a father and a daughter, and suddenly that person is gone. And you try to make sense of it, and it will never make sense. But that poem gives you such a shape to, we had a relationship, it was powerful, it was real. And even though that person physically has gone, it's very obvious she's going to live forever in this poem.
In addition to how it perhaps impacts the listener, tell us how you think it impacts the writer.
That's a really excellent question, because when I got this poem, I wrote to Dr. Rector immediately, and I just said to him, I'm so moved by what you have written, and I would, you know, love to publish it. And he wrote back and said, it means the world to me that it will be published, but it also means the world to me that you would talk to me, even though you don't know me. And he said, that's what poetry has done for me. It keeps me in the world at a time when, you know, I wasn't really sure I wanted to be in the world. And so I think that there is a power, and I try and say this in my classes when I'm teaching the medical students or the nurses, there is a power that comes when you sit down to write, to put words on paper, not a text message on a phone, but words that actually will go out on the internet, will go out in this beautiful book, somebody else will read it, and you know, your story lives again. I find that incredibly seductive.
I also saw at one point, I think you might have said this, but I recall that somehow when we write, we organize our thoughts, we create paragraphs, or in this case, stanzas, that can defy or minimize the disorder in the world and the disorder that we feel. Somehow, maybe it gives us a sense of control when in fact, there is no control.
Yeah, and I think that's particularly apt when we're talking about therapeutic writing, when we're talking about people who have illness or people who are treating people with illness. It can be overwhelming, just the diagnosis and then all of the steps to prognosis and treatment. And I think that when we write, we do give ourselves, maybe it's an illusion, but it can be a very powerful illusion. When I write that, well, you know what, I will take control of this. I may have this diagnosis, but I am still me, and I'm going to write about that.
I'm not the diagnosis.
Exactly.
I remain a human being.
And there actually, Linda, have been some experiments done where people feel better. They've done some studies with people who are experiencing diabetes, and when they have them meet once a week in writing groups, those people actually seem to be doing much better health-wise than the people that are not in the control group writing.
Well, it sounds like there's just what you said at the very start, that there's a healing quality to sharing, to expressing through art, what it is you feel, what it is you've experienced, trying to make order out of what appears to be senseless or disorder. I mean, it sounds like the act of creating art and participating in art in some way, through, in this case, through the literary journal and visual journal, really has a tremendous healing power.
I think it does. And one of the nice things is that the writers can go off and read in public. We take people to different campuses, and we do some Healing Muse readings there, and that equally sets us off on more journeys of writing.
How can people get copies of this edition?
Oh, it's very easy. Just go to our website, thehealingmuse.org, and we will tell you exactly how to get to us.
And
it's only $10.
It's an actual edition, and I mean, it's a
ask for volume 14.
It's a really beautiful piece.
Oh, thank you, Linda.
Thank you so much for coming in. My guest has been Dr. Deirdre Neal, and she's Associate Professor of Bioethics and Humanities, the editor of The Healing Muse. Once again, thanks for coming in. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.